Moncrief on News Talk.
I'm delighted to say Barbara and Declan are back.
Yay!
For us, how you think on that one?
Back.
Yay!
Yay!
We're back.
My older sister lives abroad, and she was home recently with her partner and their children. It was so great to see her, and she stayed with us, so all the cousins had some quality time together too. I noticed immediately that she gained a lot of weight when we picked her up from the airport. She was always slim, but now she's much larger than I've ever seen her before. She and her husband also fought a lot when they stayed with us. To be honest, I'm quite concerned that relationship won't last. To me, it seems like there's a lot going on and she hasn't been coping. I love her and I want the best for her. I'm her younger brother and I've always looked up to her, but I can see she is struggling and comfort eating. I'm worried for her and her health. I want to let her know, but not push her away. My wife says that something needs to be said, but it has to be done sensitively. To be honest, I have no idea how to go about it. I just want to make sure she's okay. And to me, it seems obvious that there is more going on. What should I do?
I mean, it's nice that this guy is concerned about his sister and wants to reach out to her without pushing her away. So bonus points for that. However, a couple of things. Number one is her weight may not be an indicator that anything in particular is wrong. Mm-hmm. Many of us put on weight after kids, and especially those years when kids are very young and you're extremely busy. And women in particular, I think, put themselves at the bottom of the priority list and don't have time for exercise and possibly don't eat as healthily as they would if they had more time to think about shopping and preparing food and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's the first thing. Take your focus off her weight. It mightn't be anything to do with anything at all, and it's none of your business anyway. And I should warn him that in my personal experience when I went the same way, is the next thing that'll go will be her hair. I look back at photographs of myself when the kids were young, and as well as the fact that I larried on the weight and had no sense of what I was wearing at all, my hair looked as if it had been cut with a knife and fork. So, I have a friend who said exactly the same thing. So that's the second. That's bear that in mind and take the focus off the weight. The second is something that we say regularly on this lot, is that relationships differ. I love this. Love language is different.
The fact that
he has witnessed fights between herself and her husband possibly means that that's just their normal way of communicating. Because I would think, again, in my experience, if you're going to have a fight with your partner, you generally don't do it in front of family or friends or whatever. Do you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we've all been at the place where you go out having just had a row and you have to pretend you didn't have a row because you don't, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So
that's the best. Yeah, I really enjoy that one.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah. And the thing is, you think you're being very clever and everybody can see through it.
Yeah.
Everybody's saying, geez, they must have had a right row before they came in the door, and you think you're being very clever.
Yeah.
So, as I say, I think he's jumping to all kinds of conclusions here and he may have the totally wrong end of the stick. However, as I said at the beginning, I think it's nice he's concerned. And I think what he should do is drop any reference to weights or fight. But he should, you know, asking your sister, if you're having a conversation, just the two of you, how are things? You know, how are things going? Checking in with her. That's all you need to do. You know, showing that the door is open anytime for communication.
Yeah.
Drop any kind of judgment about anything. And that's all you need to do. And that's all you can do. That is my twopence halfpenny worth.
Yeah.
This letter kind of annoyed me when I read it because I kind of felt like I was going, like, what is the basis for the concern? The concern, like you pointed out, the concern is, you know, an aging person has put on a bit of weight.
Aging.
We're all aging. I mean, getting older.
Okay.
My older sister is the first words coming out. You know, she's older than she's the last time you saw her.
Yeah.
And she's a bit heavier than the last time you saw her. Join the club.
Yeah.
So as far as I'm concerned, that it just seems like, you know, it's a bit of pearl clutchy about weight and a bit kind of, oh, I'm not sure everything's okay because you piled on a few pounds. I mean, of course, in an ideal world, we're all eating really well and we're all really trim. But that doesn't happen like that, as you pointed out already, especially as we get older. And I think for the wife and he to be, you know, talking about what's going on, you know,
it's all kind of
complete conjecture. And until the sister actually says, or you witness something that actually is
serious
looking, often what happens is couples aren't used to being in. They're on a holiday, and sometimes that's when stress, you know, stress is kind of hitting in a different way.
Exactly, with a couple of kids staying in somebody else's house.
Yeah, and you go, oh, for God's sake, you know, when it's all this kind of, you know, tetchiness reaches, you know, DEFCON 1, and it just gets to that level of you know, intensity that isn't normal for their relationship. And it's all, you know, and maybe there's other things going on, and, you know, the whole vibe of being in somebody's house, as you say, Sean. So from that point of view, I kind of think, don't use that as your benchmark as to whether or not their relationship is okay. It's very dramatic of you and your wife to be kind of going, oh, we need to approach this sensitive. Yeah. You know, no, you don't. You need to reel your neck in there.
Yeah.
And of course, as we often say about all things, if you love somebody, you should be having a chat with them on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah.
You're not asking them how they are on a regular basis. You don't really have a functioning relationship. You have a kind of an acquaintanceship. So, you know, if you want to elevate your relationship to actually know what's going on in somebody's life, ask them a question.
Yeah, check in. Exactly.
Yeah.
We are of one voice and one mind.
Yeah, I think we are. Yeah, him and one texter says him and his wife really need to just mind their own business.
Yes.
She will share if she wants to.
Yes.
Two of my very good friends have repeatedly organised things with their boyfriends and not invited me. We're in our late 20s and over the years, boyfriends have come and gone. But three of us have remained the best of friends, going through the highs and lows of college and jobs, etc. Now I'm feeling left out more often than not because they do things, the four of them. I'm never invited. I sort of didn't mind initially. It was just the odd dinner here and there. But recently I made a comment that I would love a girls' weekend away together as I don't get to see them one-on-one anymore. It turned out they had already booked a weekend away for the four of them. I feel I've said nothing and generally tried to take the moral high road, but it's gotten so bad that I'm not responding to the WhatsApp group and really putting space between us because I feel so shafted in our friendship. They don't seem to think of me at all. And that weekend away really got to me as I was so upset. It never dawned on them to consider me at all. Should I say something to them or just move on from them altogether? Part of me feels I have lost them as friends already. But should I just give up on so many years of friendship after everything?
Oh.
The drama.
Yeah.
I mean,
the highs and lows of
very
college.
Dramatic. Yeah. It's very dramatic. Look, there's a couple of things in here that I want to talk about. One is about expectations that people have in relationships with their friends. We all want to have these almost Hallmark card type relationships with people who give us what we give them back. And it's all this kind of perfection of platonic friendship. And that would be lovely. But unfortunately, often what happens is people let us down. We have these expectations that aren't met. And often those expectations aren't met because there's so much other things going on for people. Your expectations don't get met in a moment. In this instance, for this one person, it's she had an idea she wanted to go away for a weekend and they're booked for that weekend doing things with the rest of their life. And she's dramatised this out into this whole, she's being shafted as a friend.
Oh.
You don't agree with me on that one? Because what often does happen is that people pursue whatever they're doing at a particular juncture in their life. I think that if she's not able to say to her friend, like I said earlier on about communicating with your peoples, if you're not able to say to somebody in your life, this is what's going on with me and this is what I need and this is what I want right now, your level of friendship doesn't deserve the level of expectation that you're then criticising these people for not matching.
Sorry, I don't interrupt you.
That's okay.
But the elephant in the room, surely, is the fact that, and
they're
I think
relationships.
This, no, I mean, I accept what you say there about expectations not being met, and you know, friendships don't always come up to the standard that you know you put in, and you think you should get back out the same amount. I accept all of that, but I think in this case it's different. It's this old couples versus the one person on their own.
Yeah, it's because she doesn't have a partner.
It's because she doesn't have a partner.
That's also a phase, and if she's going to have a problem with that phase, she's going to hate when one of them gets engaged. She's going to hate when they're planning their weddings, and she's going to hate all of that, whether or not she's in or
not. I think she's not given us any reason to think she's not happy being on her own and being single. What she's not happy about is being excluded from the gang because she is single.
Because of the stage that they're at with their thing.
No, but because she doesn't have a partner.
Yeah.
So in other words, and I know this because I remember experiencing a little bit of this, not with my close friends, but with certain friend groups. When I was on my own and everybody else was coupled up, and there were things that were coupley things that you didn't get invited to for some reason. And I could never work that out either. And I'm kind of shocked that it's still something that is going on. And I think that I
think it's always going to go on, Barbara, because I think what actually happens
but
is
it doesn't make sense.
When people couple up, they start, is particularly when their focus is on being a couple. They're a newly formed couple and they're planning their lives together as a couple. So they're thinking couple-y thoughts.
But if
and
me
that
and
will
Mary,
disappear.
If me and Mary and Bridie are friends, right?
Yeah.
And Mary and Bridie both have partners and I don't. But me and Mary and Bridie always hung out together and went away together. If Mary and Bridie are going away and bringing their partners, should I not be invited? Because I don't have a partner. And that's, I think, the problem here.
Yes, of course. But that's because I'm not saying that she's wrong not to feel hurt. What I'm saying is that in this phase of the girlies' lives...
But why do they think she shouldn't be invited? That's
because
what I
get Because they're doing the coupley thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, oh, I hate it. I'm not saying that I agree with this. But what I'm saying is that it is a transitory phase. It's going to... It'll all go
for
away.
For how long, though?
Well, yeah, because what's going to happen next is if, you know, I have children, you don't have children. These things go on and repeat again and again and again. And if you get your neck in a twist over it, you're never going to be happy with this.
Totally disagree. And I also think that possibly the problem is that the friends who have the partners think that she would feel awkward being included because she doesn't have a partner. But they've not asked her that. They've not sat down and had a conversation about
or
that.
Or they'll feel awkward about it.
But why would they feel awkward?
The two boyfriends maybe don't want her there.
Or it's all a bit,
I'm just shocked
coupley.
That in this day and age when everything is on the table and free and flexible, that if you're a person on your own, be you male or female, that you can be disinvited, not invited, ignored in your friend group because they all have partners and you don't. That's the problem, I think, here. And that's the thing that drives me nuts. I'm like...
Now, at the beginning of this, though, I did say that the reason why I felt there was drama here was because there was one example given of I decided I want to go a weekend away on that weekend. They're busy doing coupley kind of stuff, which I abhor, but I also respect their right to do it. I think in the specific instance that you gave was one scenario.
The fact that they never even said to her, listen, we're planning a weekend away, the four of us. We don't know whether you'd like to come or not like to come, but you're very welcome to join. That would be, to me, normal thing to do. And I'm shocked that they just decided to... not include her and not even have a conversation about it.
I know that.
And you know what the other thing which I want to say is that like it's something that you get more conscious of again as you get older. Like we were having this conversation the other day. Like at some stage if you are partnered up, if you have a husband or a wife or whatever, one of you is going to be left on your own at some stage.
Yeah.
So what? Are you then going
to
be like
but this relates
the
to
invitation
what I'm saying.
Is going to stop because you're somebody on your own and why? I don't understand the why.
But it's about life phases. At that time in your life phase, if you're lucky enough to be at a stage where other people are sharing the same phase, you're going to be luckier than somebody
who's not.
So why
should
only
hang around with other widows or widowers if I'm a widow?
Yeah,
like, that's ridiculous.
I know it's ridiculous, but people do think that way. And especially when then they're 20s and they're suddenly all coupled up and they're thinking,
weddings,
great, you
engagements.
Know, my fella and her fella really like each other, or maybe they don't, I don't know.
But
they want all that to be true.
I'm wondering, does it go back to the kind of archaic notion that if you invite particularly a woman who's unattached, that she'll be making passes at the fellas who are already attached? Is there something that kind of upsets, something kind of almost subconscious? Because I don't understand why you would do that.
I don't know. Yeah.
But perhaps it is that. But that definitely, because that
just
does happen.
Mental.
No, it is mental. Like I said to you earlier on, I don't agree with it, but I can definitely see it happening because I have seen it happening. And I know that it goes in cycles. It'll be like, they'll all be wanting to sit around talking about whatever it is.
Yeah, but then what you're saying is she needs to discount these friends from now until they're all elderly.
No.
When their children are grown up and then it'll go back to normal. And these are her friends.
She needs to find a way to make them like realize that that's not the only part of their identity. Because they can explore that part of being a couple with other couples.
That sounds really weird.
They're
completely
wrong.
That
sounds like something that they do on it.
I don't think, maybe it is.
Well, you can do what you like.
On here. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Women always drop their single friends when they get loved up. But when they get ditched, they run back to their single friends. I never accept them back. Off with ye ladies. That woman going back with the two couples will completely change the dynamic of the weekend.
How?
The couples can be together as two couples or can go off at times as their individual couple units. They couldn't
the gender
do that if she was there.
Good Lord.
They don't want her there. That doesn't mean that they don't like her or want her to be with her. It's just for these things, especially weekends away. That girl is probably better looking and good crack, and her two coupled up pals are insecure, horribly mean women.
I'm baffled.
Now, you see, all of that is real to me. And I agree with some of the things I also accept. I accept that couples do that because I've seen it. And especially in a certain phase of their lives.
I accept they do it. I can't understand why. And no, I can't understand why it's still a thing. I would have thought that finished back in the 80s or the 90s. And the other thing I think we should say is that certainly for women, your girlfriends are really important. So, you know, I mean, sure, she has said that she would like to see them just as the girl. And I think that's reasonable as well. Do you know? And I mean, in my experience with my girlfriends, you know, we might all go out in couples every so often, but every so often it'll just be the girls going out because we need to do that as well.
Which is what my advice was going to be. I was going to point out that while I believe that the couples have every right to do their disgusting coupling thing off together, she had an onus to say, well, where is the time for us going to be? In some way,
absolutely.
To say, well, can you do this weekend instead?
Yeah.
And if they say no, because we're doing more of this couple stuff,
money left
then the message is clear. Yeah, whatever the excuse is. The excuse is the excuse because the investment needs to be made. And if the investment isn't being made, then ultimately it comes to the point where she
I would like to think that if she does have that conversation that the friends in the couples will it'll dawn on them, oh, we didn't think you'd be interested in coming.
Maybe
if
not.
You are, that's great. Come along, you know. I mean, I'm just baffled.
Because it almost like a sense of going out with another couple reinforces your coupliness. Somehow.
Or is it safer or something?
Yeah, it's safer. You're looking at a mirror yourself and we're all couples together and we've all our life is all planned out as opposed to Mary over there is all single and who knows what's going to happen to her.
That makes my head explode into the place where if you go out in couples and all the girls will sit over here and talk and all the fellas will sit over there and talk. And I'm like, seriously, is that still happening? Seriously?
That probably does happen. And that may well be part of it.
Genie Mackers.
The two friends can talk to each other and the lads are over, you know, slapping each other in the back going, what are you driving?
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff.
Oh my God.
But they're also off the market and they don't need to think about the game and all that kind of stuff. And it's a kind of release.
Come here.
But the minute...
Would that happen with, we always think are more advanced, would that happen with gay couples?
Of course not. No, there's all manner of weirdness.
So if gay couples go out with each other, like who gets chosen? But they who's do. Like, you go stand over there with him.
We all sit together and we sit according to which reality TV show we like.
Okay, I think we
One Texas says, as a single gal, I've been excluded from so many dinners, outings, holidays, etc. Now 60, many of those are now divorced or widowed. And I'm the first person they call, but I remain polite, but I never let them back in. I have a very full and happy life. Someone else says, there's no reason to not invite a single person.
Yes.
Utterly ridiculous. I'd love to hear from someone in the relationship with reasons why.
Yes, that's what
they
I want
wouldn't invite a single person. Well, no one's actually texted in
Nobody
to say
has.
That.
Yet. No.
It's a bit kind of Handmaid's Tale, though, isn't it? Yes. It's all about people's roles and
staying
and, you know,
in your lane and not
and
messing
everybody
things
having
up.
A place.
It's very weird.
And also, though, and it is also a little bit about, you know, having the stage of your life validated and giving you space.
Yeah. If you need validation as a couple to only hang out with another couple, that you're in trouble. That's ridiculous.
I think, though, it's about every stage of it. It's about, like, if they're at the stage where they're about to get engaged, they've just got engaged, they're about to get married, they've just got married, they're about to have a baby, you know, all of those stages. People like to be able to, you must be sick hearing about my children. You know, that kind of stuff. There is a level of, like, we need a safe space to be our identity. Man. And it's, I get it,
becomes
but it's
overwhelming.
Boring.
So somebody says, as a married man, I love when our single friends join us because they're full of fun, have interesting lives, and make conversation about anything but kids.
Yeah, Peach. I'm with that man.
He's totally looking for an affair, that guy. Right. I've been dating my current girlfriend for about 8 months now. We have a terrific time together and the relationship has slowly been becoming more and more serious. However, there's one thing that I'm struggling to reconcile. She's a silent lover. Wasn't that a single in the 80s?
She is a lover.
I mean, there isn't even a squeak out of her. This is just so unusual for me. All the other women I've been with have been very loud in their appreciation, so I'm kind of taken aback. I can honestly say that this isn't because of any lack of trying on my behalf. I'm firing on all cylinders. I wish I could get her to be more expressive in the sack, more enthusiastic about my work. How do I get her to see what a great time we're having?
Come here. Silent Lover wasn't a song.
No,
no, Easy Lover.
Easy Lover was a song.
Sorry, can I just... Yeah. Was that Phil Collins?
Yes.
I win the music round.
Easy Silent Lover.
Yeah. The other guy, Barbara. Who was the other singer in the song? It was a duet.
Was it?
Yeah. You just lost the music.
Oh, Philip, somebody or other.
Oh. You don't know as much as you think you do, Barbara. Yeah, there you go.
My place on
it was Philip, somebody.
It was.
Who was it then?
I don't know either. I wasn't the one bragging. Yeah. But it's definitely Philip.
Right, yeah, okay.
Anyway, so this guy wants to know how he can get her to see what a great time they're having, right? Or, I mean, he's clearly having a great time. That's a given. I don't know.
She's been stunned into silence.
Yeah, I don't know how the hell he knows that she is, because I have a feeling that maybe she isn't at the same party that he is. I mean, in his head, he's clearly a wonderful lover, and he says that this is just so unusual for him that his female partner would be quiet. I think she might be trying to tell you something, buddy. Do you know what I mean? I think you might be having a great time, but the fabulous moves you're employing might not just be doing it for her.
Yeah.
So I think if he really wants to sort this out, he needs to start by asking a few questions.
Yeah.
What does she like? What would she like? What does she, you know, what does she want? Mm. Ask her a couple of questions and go down that Rimmen aren't a one size fits all thing. So I think he needs to do a little bit more homework before he starts congratulating himself on what a fabulous, fabulous lover he is.
Yeah.
It was Philip Bailey of Earth, Wind and Fire.
Well done. Yeah. Well done.
Did that just come to you? No, it didn't.
No, they told me. Yeah.
The thing about it is that, okay, first, you know, she's quiet, but are there tears? That's the first thing I want to know. Because that kind of like, oh no, I've just knocked over.
Yeah.
Tears. Look, being a silent lover, you just said there are women aren't all the same, or sexual partners aren't always the same. Some people kind of are in their head a little bit at that moment, and they don't necessarily have to verbalize in order to be having a good time, obviously. So maybe that's just the kind of lover she's going to be.
Like,
and maybe
you can hit somebody with a mallet and they won't go, ouch.
Okay, but also some people scream inside their head all of the time, like I'm doing right now. The reality of it is, though, is that if she's not giving anything back to you, that's the real issue. The issue is, it's kind of like, you know, it's like social cues that we give each other, is that if you're saying something that I'm interested, I'm giving you eye contact, I'm smiling, there's a certain kind of a thing there. And if he's not getting it back, he has every reason to be a little bit perturbed by it. So that definitely...
But wouldn't he be better off asking her instead of writing it to us?
Yeah,
like, that's his first point to call.
Yeah, well, maybe
Is talk to her and find out, is she happy? Is she enjoying herself? You know, is he doing the right thing?
Why are you crying?
Well, you can cry in ecstasy as well.
Yes,
you really do.
Or maybe she's just nodding off at some point. This is all about him.
It's all about you. Mother of God.
He's not looking for a screen. He's looking for her to hold up scorecards and go, wow, you dialed it up to 11, big boy. That's all he's interested in. He doesn't actually care if she enjoys herself. He cares if he feels he's doing the business.
And he also doesn't realise that a lot of the women that he's with have been performing, having a good time, you know, in that kind of way. That it's not necessary.
You see, that's the other thing. Like, all the other women he was with all were noisy. I wonder, were they in real life, or was he looking at a screen at the time when this was happening?
I was getting that vibe. It was definitely giving me, like, you know, dark web kind of vibes. So I think, look, he needs to get a grip, and, you know, it is...
That might be what he's left with.
Yeah.
Getting a grip.
Yeah.
There you go.
But I don't think she's having the good time that he thinks she is.
How do I get her to see what a great time
We're having. Yeah. Like,
she should dump him.
She's probably going to dump him. If she's very quiet, she's probably already halfway out the door.
That's probably what she's thinking about. She's probably planning her
escape.
Are her eyes looking at the doors?
Yeah. her eyes open. She's asleep.
Me and my husband are together for over 10 years and I hate going out with couples. I hate chatting with them. I hate going to dinner. I would prefer going out with single friends because it doesn't matter. They're just our friends. I guess we wouldn't be a conventional couple because I would prefer spending time at home with him and my daughter than going out spending money and talking crap with somebody that I'm not going to see for another year.
I love this person. I want to meet up with them.
Yeah, I'm here. Like,
they sound like they're head on right.
I'm part of a couple, brackets, hetero. My single friends show me up as a fuddy-duddy, boring wife type. I love them, but feel safer with my couple friends. I know I sound so stupid and boring. Now, there's a possible reason.
That's interesting. That's interesting. And I kind of can understand
I love the honesty
that.
Of this person and I get it. And again, look, when I'm talking about people going through phases of their life, people often feel very comfortable in an identity. And your identity isn't, you know, it's group identity as opposed to your own personal identity.
Yeah.
So being a wife, being at that stage, you're like being a mother, whatever it is, it gives you a grounding as to who you are, something that you can kind of sit with or hide behind. And often it's very comfortable. And seeing other people who don't fit into those boxes can be a little bit disturbing.
I think that's very interesting because I wonder, is it obviously, I don't know what it's like for men, but I wonder, is it different? Because I do get from what that last person that you read out there, Sean, says, I do understand, especially when you're at the stage of having children, which is probably a little bit further down the line than the couples referred to in the letter, that as women, you very often lose yourself. Because you become totally, you know, kind of involved. Your role as a mother in particular can be all consuming. And so therefore, if you're confronted by your single friend.
Freedom.
Who hasn't, who's got the freedom, who's got the ability, probably more money in her pocket, the ability to come and go and do what she wants. That can be quite unnerving. So that
and
might
you
be
have
a possible.
Nothing in common with. It's just like somebody. It's
but
like somebody giving
friends.
A report. You're telling them about your motherly duties and the day you had with the kids, and they're telling you about whatever they were doing, and it's chalk and cheese.
But the
no
only thing is,
overlap.
It depends on how long your friends. Because again, like we, I've left school 100 million years ago, and we had a reunion. I think it was the 25 reunion years ago, and I got back in touch with the group of us who hung around in school, about 7 of us, and we met up, and we still meet up maybe once or twice a year, and it is one of the most brilliant. Things about it is, I think everybody's married. One of the most brilliant things about it is, none of us, well, bar a couple of us who are closer, but generally, we don't know each other's husbands. We don't know each other's kids.
Yeah,
we don't know how many kids everybody has. We don't
it's
know
so
the
much
kids'
better.
Names.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, there's no talk of that. And it is just so brilliant. Because, and so, that's why I think school friends, if these are school friends, are so important to you because they remember who you were before you became all the other things.
Yeah.
But life makes you become very philosophical. Life makes you become.
And even in that couple situation, that's the start of a lifetime of emotional labour for the women.
Absolutely.
It's the women who organise those meetups, not the men.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the women need to kick over the traces and sort that out.
Yeah. Remember who you were.
And remember who you were before life made you be a whole load of other things.
You can move along in life and still hold on to the vestiges of your former self.
Yes, exactly. So, that's really important.
Yeah.
But I think often women don't.
Or can you? Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.